A Cooley Law School professor will oversee an independent review of the embattled Lansing Board of Water and Light. Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero announced General Michael C.H. McDaniel's new role late Wednesday. Mr. McDaniel met the media yesterday. The retired military officer and former Homeland Security official will appoint members of a community review team that will conduct, in Mr. McDaniel's words, an objective, comprehensive, and transparent review of the utility's intensely criticized response to a December ice storm. The BWL says the storm resulted in power outages for up to at least 35,000 people, some for up to 11 days. And to learn more, we welcome General Michael McDaniel to Current State. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for having me.
Things have moved pretty fast.
That's true.
Recently. Tell us how you ended up here. Did the mayor call you?
He did. He called me Tuesday morning about 10 a.m. I'd known the mayor for quite some time, back when he was state senator and I was Homeland Security advisor. So he had called me and asked if I would do this. I needed a few hours, of course, to think it over, think about my term at Cooley Law School. I've got teaching responsibilities, which have to come first or come second after my family. And so I had to talk with the Cooley Dean and President Don LaDuke, and he graciously agreed that I could take this on.
How'd the mayor pitch this to you?
As I would expect that he would, he went directly to the idea that, you know, that I'm a public servant and the community needs me to do this. And I have been a public servant for 30 years, and so I agreed to do so.
And your Saturdays were getting a little dull around the house, not quite enough to do.
Well, yeah, I don't want to be missing any Spartan basketball games on Saturdays, Mark, but this will certainly fill in any spare time I might have.
Seriously, what in those hours that you took to evaluate this whole thing, what came to mind?
Well, that's a good question. I would say a couple things. First and foremost, I have always been a public servant, but it's usually been at the state or federal level. And this was an opportunity to give back to the community. And I was quite willing to do that after I thought about it for a while. Secondly, this is what I have done. I was in charge of Homeland Defense strategy and plans at the Pentagon for the Department of Defense, which included those which were comprehensive for all four branches of the military. Certainly had done this at the state level, had done this to some degree at the regional level as well, working
done,
with FEMA.
Done what exactly? I mean, involved with power and utilities?
No, indirectly, certainly. I do not claim to be a utility expert. I do not claim to be an expert on utility law. However, I have been intimately involved in critical infrastructure planning since the beginning of my time at Homeland Security. I was the critical infrastructure expert for the National Governors Association Homeland Security Council. I was the chair of the state, local, tribal council for the Department of Homeland Security, where all the state and local officials, and we had a group of like 20 that were in charge of doing critical infrastructure for the Department of Homeland Security. And at the Pentagon, I was in charge of the Defense Industrial Base, which meant I was very concerned with how power, almost all electrical power, goes into our military bases. It's like one long extension cord, say, from Fayetteville, North Carolina to Fort Benning. And so there's a lot of vulnerabilities reliant upon power. And we looked at ways to assure that the power source would be reliable and resilient. And, you know, that's sort of the motto of the Board of Water and Light. They say they are going to provide reliable, affordable power. And I guess I'm looking at that reliable piece, Mark.
Tell us about your review team then. How many will there be?
I don't have a fixed number. Let me first say that the review team will be appointed by me. I think it was very important that this team be independent from any of the communities, including the city of Lansing, and that it be independent from the Board of Water and Light. So I insisted that I had to be able to appoint all the members to the team. I'm expecting about 9 members. I expect it will be community-wide. It has to have representatives from East Lansing, Delta and Delhi Township, as well as the city of Lansing. And so I've also talked to the mayor of East Lansing yesterday afternoon, and I'll talk to the township supervisors for Delta and Delhi, and I'll be asking them for their recommendations as well. As that of the Lansing mayor. But again, those are going to be recommendations. I'm going to appoint the members. I'm going to assume around 9 members.
Do you have any lined up already?
No.
Okay. What will the process be then here for assembly? I know you're soliciting applications.
That's right. True? That's right. Absolutely. I put out an email address, lansingcrt@gmail.com. Anyone who is interested in the community, all they have to do is send me an email with the expression of interest and send me their resume. I am certainly looking for individuals who are community representatives, but I'd like it to be sort of a twofer, if you'll pardon the expression. You know, it's someone who has a background in technology-driven customer support or customer service, background in emergency management, of course, background in crisis communications, crisis planning, background in the utility industry would be good as well, information technology field, somebody who's got some skills that we can have, as well as being a community representative would be good. And as I said yesterday, I don't want any politicians or aspiring politicians. This is not going to be glamorous whatsoever. It's going to be looking at exactly what went wrong as well as what went right and what needs to be fixed.
Would anybody who's been outspoken against, been highly critical of the Board of Water and Light, be eliminated from consideration?
I wouldn't say eliminated, but I would certainly take that into consideration, Mark. I've said from the beginning that this has to be objective as well as independent. And so I need people that clearly have that objectivity. Let's not forget that this is a report that has to be not only accepted by the community, but it has to be accepted by the city of Lansing and the mayor of, and the city council and the Board of Water and Light. They have to know that my team's work was objective so that they are willing to accept what might be some pretty strong recommendations.
Have you begun looking into what you'll focus on?
I've certainly considered it. At this point, really, Mark, I'm more concerned or more focused on the process. And it seems to me the process is first I need to come up with those team members, appoint the team no later than next Wednesday so that I can announce the members of the CRT. At that point, I'm going to start taking community input. I'm going to ask the members of the community to use that same email address, lansingcrt@gmail.com, and send me their comments, send me their concerns. Again, what went right, what went wrong, their thoughts on what needs to be fixed or what should be done differently. And I want them to look at it broadly because my team's going to look at it broadly. Then I'll have a series of public meetings. Got to have at least three, it seems to me, one in Delta Township, one in Lansing, one in East Lansing. At a minimum, I would note that Board of Water and Light is already saying that they're doing that next week. Mine will probably be the week after so we don't have too much interference or confusion. I will certainly ask the Board of Water and Light to record, have a transcript or some sort of recording of their public hearing so that I can have full input on what was said at their public hearing. Again, in case there's any confusion between the two. I will also, of course, be taking an input, as I said, through the email, and then I'll have a series of three public meetings myself. I think the second phase of that, if I could just continue, would be
sure.
I need to get all the documentation from the Board of Water and Light. Any plans that they have in place now, any plans that they had in place prior to December 21st. And I need to see the communication string. How was command and control affected within the Board of Water and Light? So not just looking at communications to their stakeholders and their customers, but how did they do that contingency decision making?
Internally.
That's right.
Is that what you mean?
That's right.
No.
And let me just say that a good plan is not like, this person goes to this location. A good contingency plan is but a platform for contingency decision making. You take the five most common natural disasters. I pick five out of the air. The number is irrelevant because it depends on where you are. California or Hawaii is going to have more than five potential natural disasters. But it seems to me here it's going to be ice storms, heat waves, tornadoes, earthquakes, and, of course, blizzards and flooding. So, you've got the natural disasters, and you think about what are the man-made incidents could occur. And you think of all the potential contingencies there. And then those have to be captured within the plan, not specifics, but, okay, if this is what we think is going to happen, what are the potential consequences? What are the potential first and second effects as in order from that? And then you say, how do we do our decision-making from that? And it's that contingency decision-making, I think, that is the most problematic. Many times, I don't know in this case, it's possible, given the delay of 10 or 11 days to response, that there was not a clear operating picture across the board. And that's one of the things that we'll know when we look at the plan. And then, of course, after I got that that information. The second phase is to do interviews with Board of Water and Light employees and staff. The third phase would be to bring in subject matter experts.
Have you read enough about this episode that you're having to let go of any of the reporting that you've read about this that you might have that's already in your head with regard to the Board of Water and Light's response?
No, I sort of let it all go because I have to be objective and look at this clean when I see not what's reported, but when I see what information the Board of Water and Light actually either had or generated at the time. And let me emphasize here that to do this thoroughly, which I insisted with Mayor Bernero, it had to be thorough. It has to be not just the response. We have to look at planning and preparation on the front end. What happened prior to December 21st? The year or two before that, what plans did they have in place? How did they train their staff to those plans? Did they ever exercise those plans? Then you look at the response itself, and then we look at the long-term recovery as well.
To what extent do you think you'll have to rely on the board's version of events and data, et cetera? And does that concern you? For example, there seems to be some confusion as to exactly how many customers were affected and for how long. That's been fluid, shall we say. Do you expect to determine those numbers independently?
I don't know that the actual number is as important to me. That's a great question, by the way. But I don't know if the actual number is as important as it is. The importance is whether or not the Board of Water and Light knew exactly how many customers they had out. I mean, they have to have a clear operating picture as to what their response is going to be. You have to have some sense of how many customers are out on day one, day two, day three, day four, and how they're working through that. Now, who had that information? You know, did they have an emergency operations center where this information was clear? The purpose of an emergency operations center is so that all of the most important internal, as well as there'll be some external assistance, but that decision-making, that contingency decision-making, as I said before, so that they clearly understand exactly what they're dealing with. In any crisis, in any event that you're responding to, that is fluid and that information is going to change. So the fact that it may have been 25,000 on one day and 30,000 on another day is not as important as why was the number going up, and is it because they weren't aware of on day one how many outages they had and why? And is it unclear as to whether or not there was subsequent events, whether there was internal failings within the system itself that caused the number to go up? I don't know at this point.
But does it concern you that you may have to rely on their data and their version of events?
Oh, no, because there'll be ways to look at that objectively. This is going to be compared against, you know, industry standards and best practices. So if, in fact, you know, as I said, it's not necessarily the numbers they say, but when they knew those numbers and when they claim they knew those numbers, which will be more important to use that example.
Are you confident you'll get the cooperation from the Board of Water and Light that you will need to conduct this investigation?
Yes,
I
think so.
Does that concern you?
Well, I think only in the sense that it's on a long list of concerns. I mean, one of the things, as I said, part of phase two is I've got to get all the information from the Board of Water and Light. So it's a concern in that sense. Do I think they're going to withhold information? Of course not. I mean, the public opinion, the public focus on them is so great that I think that if I had to state publicly that my report has been delayed because I haven't gotten information from the Board of Water and Light, that would be very telling to the community. So I don't think that's going to happen.
How big a part of your investigation will the general manager be, Peter Lark? Will you be relying on him specifically to significantly?
I don't think so. You know, there's always as I said before, command and control, the decision-making process is extremely important. So that will be looked at. Who makes decisions? Is it the general manager? Is there an emergency operations manager? Is the current day-to-day operations manager become the emergency operations manager? If so, what's the reporting mechanism from him to the general manager and from the general manager up to the board itself? I mean, that will be looked at closely in terms of how the command and control structure works, and how it works differently, as it should, in the middle of a crisis or event like this.
At the media gathering yesterday, you described Peter Lark as a friend and went on to describe working with him at the state years ago. Do you anticipate any resistance because of that? Can you understand how some Lansing residents might be skeptical about objectivity and independence if you've established some kind of acquaintance with the top executive of the utility you're investigating?
Sure. And that's why I addressed it right from the very beginning, Mark. I mean, let's face it. Lansing is a small town. When I was hired 30 years ago with the Attorney General's office, you know, Frank Kelly said Michigan is nothing but a big, small town, and everybody will know what you're doing. And I think that's true in this case, as it should be. But, you know, I haven't worked with Peter Lark in over 12 years. The last time I could possibly have worked with him is 2002, when I left the Attorney General's office, when Attorney General Granholm became Governor Granholm and appointed me Homeland Security Advisor. And I haven't worked with Peter since. So it should not be a problem. And I emphasize that only because I wasn't hired or appointed. I shouldn't say hired. This is obviously without compensation whatsoever. I wasn't appointed to do this because I was at the Attorney General's office some time ago, and so was Peter Lark. I was appointed to do this because of my expertise in Homeland Security planning.
How long do you expect the review will take, and will a final report be issued?
90 days. I sort of set that, but Mayor Bernero certainly agreed. There's no reason to drag this out. That's taken up the entire school term. And that's the most time I really feel that we can spend on doing this. There will, of course, be a written report. That report has to be public. Again, as I said before, not only does this have to be independent and objective, it has to be transparent.
And recommendations will be a part of it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I expect there'll be a series of recommendations. Recommendations on the areas that the key areas that I mentioned, planning and preparation, the response and the recovery.
Remind us again of the timeline here in terms of lining up the people that will be part of the team.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to have the team in place by next Wednesday.
Okay.
And again, I any members of the public who have some interest, this is a community review team, so I need your support, lansingcrt@gmail.com.
Well, it's been an enlightening segment here. We appreciate it a lot. General Mike McDaniel's new role is as the head of the community review team looking into the Board of Water and Light response to the recent ice storm. We'll stay in touch. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mark.